Hello, this is Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. Today I will be continuing our series about God's glorious kingdom arising in the earth. Now we understand that God's kingdom is the kingdom of light because God is light and his glory manifests through his people who are called the children of light. This is because we have the light within us and we believe the light, which is God's voice that speaks to our hearts, showing us which way to prosper in the darkness of this world. Now, in this episode, I want to share a vision I received from the Lord. I was awakened around 4:30 a.m. with a powerful vision. I saw the hand of the Lord working behind the scenes in the money system. I saw money being siphoned from secret accounts all around the world. God was moving the money from those who hid it, and he began placing it into the hands and accounts of his trusted saints. What I saw was illegal money being cleansed and transferred from the underground to legitimate finances that would be used to finance the kingdom and help take care of the people of the land. I didn't see any faces, but I knew in my spirit these were known criminals, but also known politicians, businessmen, and leaders of the church who had conspired to steal from the people. But I saw more than money. I saw every resource that is supposedly lacking or in shortage. They all were being stockpiled for the wealthy. In this vision, it was like they were putting things in safes, in secret compartments, in secret deposit boxes, but they were hidden places that had a compartment door on the other side. They would put stash in one way, and God would take it out by the back way. According to Psalm 24:1, everything on this earth belongs to God, not only the physical planet, but also the people and the possessions. Even though God gave us dominion over the earth, we were not found faithful of what God created. We thought it was about us and what we desired. But whatever God gave us was not just for us. It had a greater purpose. And in this season, we're going to see a turnover of wealth and resources, as it says in Proverbs 13:22. The wealth of a sinner has been accumulated for the just. In other words, wealth and resources will be given to those who honor God and do as he pleases. Years ago, I was watching a television commercial that was about feeding the starving children in Africa. And it hit me. I had been hearing the same commercial since I was a child. So I asked the Holy Spirit why nothing had changed. The Lord said, "There is no lack of resources, only a lack of obedient people who are willing to share their time and resources with others." And he let me know, when we refuse to obey God, we curse ourselves. So what I saw in the vision was a manifestation of the curse in the lives of those who have hoarded and hidden resources that should have been used for a greater good. I saw God take their wealth and resources and give them to those who obey, as it says in Ecclesiastes 2:26. For God gives those who please him wisdom, knowledge, and joy. But if a sinner becomes wealthy, God takes the wealth away from him and gives it to those who please him. So here too, we see an example of foolishly chasing the wind. And those were the words of King Solomon in Ecclesiastes 2:26, and that's the Living Bible translation. So in this vision, I watched as God siphoned the resources of these thieves. They had no idea that they were playing right into the hands of Almighty God. Now, back in 2009, when I wrote the War Journal Volume 1, the Lord said boldly, "Yes, the secret things belong to me, and I will reveal them all, both bad and good." But then think about it. Didn't Jesus say that the Father sees in secret, but he will reward us openly? In the scripture, Jesus was talking about praying in secret. But we also have leaders in government and in the church who have been praying. That's P-R-E-Y-I-N-G in secret. And as God said in the 2023 prophecy, "Now it is my time to act with my righteous right hand and outstretched arm to deal with my enemies. I will break their conspiracies. I will expose their secret agreements and their lies. I will expose their evil black hearts to the entire world. And who can stop me?" And that was from the 2023 prophecy. The secret things are exposed by the light. And in this case, God is uncovering riches being hidden in secret places, according to Isaiah 45:3. Jesus said that the light shined in darkness, but those who love evil won't come to the light because their deeds are evil. And that's what we were seeing in the vision. These people were hiding wealth as if God could not see them. Sure, they didn't come to the light, but the light was shining on them. God sees everything. Remember, God sees in secret, according to Matthew 6:6. I saw this exact thing in the realm of the spirit a couple of weeks ago. And this is before the vision that I got about the hidden riches. In that other vision, Jesus was seated on his throne in heaven, but it was like he was just above the earth. He was looking down on our government. It was as if he was waiting for people to change their direction, but repentance was not in their hearts. While Jesus was looking down on us, there were angels surrounding the earth. At the same time, Washington, D.C. was surrounded by warrior angels who were just waiting the command from the Lord of Hosts, who was also known as the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. They were a strong military host, and they were positioned in battle array. It was a very frightening sight. Yet our government leaders could not see. They were so busy doing evil and hiding evidence of their guilt. These people believed that they were getting away with something, but the Lord was watching it all. As the Bible says in Hebrews 4:13, all things are naked and open before him. Now, in the vision about the hidden riches, it opened up another level of understanding for me about the darkness. God has treasures for his people that are hidden in darkness. We call them mysteries. And these are mysteries that are often revealed during the darkness of the night season when we're asleep. Back in 2019, the Lord had me write a book entitled Taking Back the Night. It was all about taking back the night season by infiltrating the darkness and restoring the night as God established it, as his time to speak to his people in night visions and dreams. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 50 wrote about how Jesus was taught by the Father at night and how he would awaken with the tongue of the learned and with the ear that was open to hear as the learned, as he does a lot of his prophets. This is where Daniel and many prophets got their revelations from the Lord. Even in my life, it was during the night season that the Lord took me on many adventures to heaven and taught me lessons about the times in which we live. It was also during the night season that the Holy Spirit would raise a blackboard in the realm of the Spirit and began teaching me deep mysteries of God. In fact, this entire audio series was given to me by the Lord at night. That is also how I get downloads for the books that I write. These are all treasures hidden in the darkness, in the secret places of God, in mysteries. But they are revealed by the light of God to illuminate our understanding and our path in this dark world. But the devil wants to block this light from reaching us. So he has infiltrated the night season with witchcraft and all manner of filth and perversion. Now God is taking back the night and even the darkness and restoring it all for his original purpose. If we go back in the beginning, God made two great lights to rule over the earth, the sun to rule by day and the moon to rule by night. In other words, darkness was never to rule the earth. It's the light that governs what darkness can do in this world. It is also by this same light that the times and seasons of the earth are determined. This is also true in the realm of the spirit. Darkness is here and is flexing its muscles, but we, the children of light, have dominion and we are to govern what the darkness can do. Again, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and its people, belong to him. Think about it. What's in the world? We know about the people. We know about the territory and possessions of the planet. But there's more. There's darkness, sin, evil, and deception. Now, God didn't create these things. They are a perversion of things God created because of man's sin. But still, the world is corrupted, but it belongs to God. So as sons and daughters, we are more than caretakers of the earth. We are also heirs. It all belongs to us. The earth is our inheritance. As Paul told the church at Corinth, all things are yours. But also as believers, we have to take ownership of what God created, no matter what condition it may be today. And here's a newsflash. Your inheritance in the earth will also be corrupted. That's because evil has been its master until you arrived. But listen, you are anointed, according to Isaiah 61:4, to rebuild the old waste places, to raise up the former desolations, and repair the waste cities and the desolations of many generations. That's a lot of cleanup to be done. Think about it. Even in America, think about all the damage that's been done by our leaders. When God removes them, who do you think's got to clean it up? This is why we must not only expose the darkness, but we must conquer it as a possession for God's kingdom. We're transferring people from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear son. We do it with the people and the possessions. We must take ownership of this planet and restore it as God intended at creation. I know this is probably a lot to take in, but beloved, this is our call as the body of Christ in the earth. We are not only blessed to be fruitful and multiply, but we are also to replenish and subdue the earth. And that's what I saw the hand of the Lord doing in the vision about the riches. It was subduing the darkness and replenishing the money system of the earth. Not only that, but he was replenishing the hearts of the people, and it was glorious. And this is one of the treasures that's hidden in the darkness. God has something that he wants to pull out of the deep darkness of the hearts of people, out of obscurity and deception, and bring them into the light, giving them hope, letting them see his glory and his love. And that is what God has placed within the spirits of his people. That's what we call Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's not all going to be clean. It's going to be dirty. It's going to be messy. It's going to be corrupted and perverted as the world is. But we are to transform it, to change it for God's glory. And that's what Jesus did. As Hebrews 12:3, it says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Meaning it looks like a heavy load, but this is our call to go into the darkness and bring the light of God to transform the world and the people in it. So then I saw a glimpse of our purpose as the body of Christ, not to submit under the darkness, but to expose and conquer it with God's love and truth. We must strive against the darkness in order to reveal God's true treasure in this earth. It's buried under the darkness, but it's there. And this is what Jesus did when he died on the cross and went to hell. The devil thought he had Jesus, but 3 days later, Jesus rose from the grave. Death was swallowed up in victory. The light overtook the darkness. This is the same victory that God gave us through Jesus Christ. And in this earth, we must continue what Jesus began. We have his spirit, we have his power and his word. We have his authority. We have been commissioned by our Lord to reign in his name and occupy till he comes. If you've heard it before when I've said that the Holy Spirit said to always strive to see the good. What we strive against is the darkness of the world. The good is there. It's just like we talked about last time. The sun is always shining, but the clouds are in the way. And the goodness of God is always here, but the darkness is in the way. The good is God's treasure that's hidden by the darkness. But it's like the song, "The Impossible Dream." We march into hell with a heavenly cause. And I prophesy that we, the body of Christ, will conquer the darkness of this world, whether it be sickness, lack, or human degradation, whether it be deception or delusion or rejection of the truth of God. We will subdue the darkness and the earth shall be replenished to the glory of God the Father. Because the Bible says it. It says that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Therefore, we will see the manifestation of what it means to be more than a conqueror if we step into our places and do as the Lord has commanded. Let me stop right here. I just want to talk about Romans chapter 8. A powerful chapter talks about our inheritance, who we are in Christ, but it also gives us inspiration of moving forward to be conquerors. But Romans 8:28 says, "And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." And that's what this is about. The world is filled with darkness and gross darkness of the people, yet things work for our good because we love and obey God and because we have a heavenly mandate to fulfill. We are called for this time and season for God's purpose. Now, if you're on this planet, it's because God has a plan for your life. Things will work for your good when you discover that plan and walk in it. Even so, we don't concentrate on the darkness. In Isaiah 60, the prophet didn't begin by talking about darkness. Not at all. It began in the chapter before, in Isaiah 59, when the Lord said to his people, "This is my covenant. My words shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed, nor out of the mouth of your seed's seed." And that's Isaiah 59:21. God announced his covenant to his people. Then he commissioned them in the next verse by saying, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." This was a call to duty. It's a duty to a dark and dying world. That entire chapter, Isaiah 60, parallels what we will see in these final days on the earth. God's people will arise in his glory, and the heathen and the kings will come to their light. Even those who hated them will fall down and honor them. They will bring their wealth to God's people. Strangers will come and help us rebuild the walls and the desolate places. This will be a time of restoration and elevation for the people of God. So the body of Christ is called to the darkness. That's why the glory of the Lord is upon us. And remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 4. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The glory came to heal and to set captives free. This is the light that conquers the darkness. This is the treasure we carry in these earthen vessels. We are the candles of the Lord, and it's time for us to shine ever so brightly. Now, I want to mention one other thing before we move on. You'll notice when Jesus spoke his portion of Isaiah, he talked about the acceptable year of the Lord, but he didn't say anything about the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. And you'll find that in Isaiah 61, verse 2. We will see the vengeance of the Lord in our day. We will see God comfort all who mourn, and we're seeing it even now. In fact, in earlier podcasts, we talked about how God's vengeance is here operating in our midst solely to comfort those who mourn. So this will be a unique time in the earth. We carry this light in our spirits. It's the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Think about it. This spirit, this light, conquered darkness. It conquered hell and death and the grave. But even so, on January 2nd, 2023, I heard the Holy Spirit say that the body of Christ will be winning battles and taking spoils. Now, we don't war against people, but against principality and the evil spirits that control people. Our battle is in the realm of the spirit. Now I remember the first time the Lord told me that he had given me the spoils of such a battle. I wasn't doing anything great. I was speaking the word and death threats came against me, but I continued to obey God. Intercessors were praying for me, even though some of them were frightened by what they saw in the spirit. However, we prevailed in prayer. And when it was over, the Lord said to me, "You have won the battle. The spoils are yours." How did I win? I won by doing whatever the Lord said do and by holding my position in spite of enemy distraction, in spite of retaliation. This is what is called the contradiction of sinners. I kept the faith and did not waver one bit. This is what Jesus did when he willingly faced execution as an innocent man and he died on the cross. This was the Father's will for his life. This is key. To win battles, we must make sure we're in the battle that the Lord ordained for our lives. There are plenty of battles out there. The darkness will always keep something going, but which one has God anointed you to face? When you find it, then put on the whole armor of God and stand until God tells you otherwise. This is what Jesus did. He loved the Father so much that he gave up his own life for us. And as Isaiah said, he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. That's Isaiah 53, 9 and 12. Who are the great and strong that Jesus divide the portion with, and divide the spoil with? This is the body of Christ, those who believe God, and who have the faith in his Son, and who stood and fought the battles and won. The prophet Joel describes such a people as a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. And again, he calls them a strong people set in battle array. You find this in Joel chapter 2, verse 2 and verse 5. Beloved, there will never be another people like us in the earth. As sons and daughters of God, we are his true treasure in this earth. We are his living stones, chosen of God and precious, according to 1 Peter 2 and 4. So in the name of Jesus, we step into our inheritance and ask of you, Father, for the heathen, the same that rages against us, to be our inheritance, and the earth, the whole earth, to be our possession as joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We will restore them all back to your kingdom. We also take our places, seated together with Jesus in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. He is the head over all things to us, his body, the church. And he has put all things under our feet. And this is according to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 to 23, and chapter 2, verse 6. We take authority over all of the darkness of this world for the glory of Almighty God. We uncover the secret things of the evil one and set free every living thing and set them forth into their divine purpose in Christ Jesus. We overtake the darkness and take back the night season. We take back the riches hidden in secret places and every stolen and hoarded resource and place them into the hands of God. We do all of this for the glory of God. We expose, overtake, and conquer every corner of darkness of this world and declare that what the enemy has meant for evil, we will turn for God's kingdom good, declaring a divine reversal of everything that devil plotted against this planet and its inhabitants. Now we thank you, Lord, for giving us power over the darkness of this world. Thank you, Lord, for giving us Jesus Christ and your Holy Spirit, Lord, and commissioning us. We therefore rule and reign in the midst of our enemies, according to Psalm 110, verse 2, in the name of Jesus. This has been Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. Until next time.